This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Brian Fernandez and Joyce Gore with the top business stories of the day. We'll start with the business of Parliament. Putrajaya is seeking an approval for 8 billion ringgit more in spending. The question is, not only why do they need this, and we can detail that, but what about the original budgeting that made them come up 8 billion ringgit short? Let's start with the first question. What does Putrajaya need this 8 billion for?
Well, the 8 billion, Sharad, is a bulk of it is meant for operating expenditure. So that's about 7.8 billion allocated for operating expenditure and only 1 billion ringgit for the development expenditure. So this is an extra sum on top of the 260 billion ringgit for budget 2017. And the additional sum is the highest since 2013. And basically, budget 2017, remember, it was presented in October 2016. So yeah, we'll look and see. Basically, they're budgeting, they're asking for an extra 8 billion more to spend. And last year, the government tabled a supplementary budget for an additional 3.08 billion ringgit. This is for the 2016 federal budget.
Okay, so the question again is what we mentioned earlier, is why or how did they come to underestimate the expenditure? And what is it that led to us to the situation?
Yeah, so I suppose we've got to look at, you know, what's happened and the need for it. We've got to look at government revenue from two levels, which has in fact increased. Now, on the inland revenue side, direct tax collection has grown 8.15%, and Petronas has raised its dividend to 19 billion in 2017. Now, that's up from 16 billion in 2016. Now, it could be because of the additional income that the government now has more income or more money to spend, and so they need approval from Parliament to reallocate the funds for spending. Now, basically, the government will then decide how much additional funds do they have, how to apportion the funds, and at the end of the day, whether they're on track with their federal budget deficit, fiscal deficit targets.
Yeah, we spoke to an economist earlier this morning, and she said that the supplementary budget sometimes is like a formality. So basically, in this case, they probably have extra money and they've spent it and they just need approval to allocate the funds.
So they've already spent the money.
This is for 2017.
Yeah. So this is very interesting, right? Because we have in the past spoken to individuals who are involved in the Parliamentary Accounts Committee, the PAC, which under the now Deputy Home Minister was actually a very robust organization. We hear very little from them, the PAC, these days. Mm. Now, okay, what do we have in the reports? Are they telling us about where these extra funds are going into?
Well, the biggest item under supply expenses is 2.7 billion ringgit contribution to statutory funds, which the MOF has said that it is surplus from consolidated revenue account being transferred to development fund. So basically, that is the biggest. That's one of the items. The other bigger expenditure includes over 800 million ringgit each for the education and home ministries, nearly 480 million ringgit for the health ministry, and 425 million ringgit for the higher education ministry.
I guess in a time when we're focused on whether government can display fiscal discipline, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and this is not just at the federal level, but at state levels as well. The question really is, you know, will such additional funds impact the deficit figures?
Well, an economist said that it's unlikely because this money has already been spent. So the fiscal deficit came in at about negative 2.9% of GDP based on the published statistics of Bank Negara. So this deficit figure is in line with the targeted range of MOF in 2017. It appears that the extra spending didn't affect it. So the deficit has in fact narrowed from negative 3.1% in 2016.
Well, interestingly, the economists note that with the additional revenue, if the government chooses not to spend it, budget deficit will be even narrower. You know, so that's an interesting point that she pointed out.
Yeah, but you know, Malaysia is not the only country that essentially has issues supplementary deficits. In fact,
supplementary budget.
So just a few days ago, in fact, on March 15th, South Korea said it would propose a 4 trillion supplementary budget to boost business subsidies and cut the country's high youth unemployment.
Okay, now let's take a look at the aviation sector. The government is in the midst of drafting a price ceiling on domestic airfares. Now, as should they be in the market deciding these things? Should the market be allowed to determine it?
Yeah, so according to Deputy Transport Minister Dato' Abdul Aziz Rawi, he said that through MAFCOM, the ceiling price for domestic airfares expected to be completed by the middle of the year. This move is because of complaints received on expensive flight tickets, especially during festive seasons.
Yeah, so this is part of a study carried out by MAFCOM, which showed that up to fivefold increases of airfares during festive periods, guys. So if you're traveling during like Chinese New Year, Hari Raya, and all that.
But a lot of things go up during festive periods just because demand goes up too.
But Sharad, the quantums are quite significant because a flight from the peninsula to Sabah, which may cost 160 ringgit one way, during peak periods apparently go up to as much as 800 to 1,000 ringgit.
Wow. Right, but there is competition, right? So so people can choose between the competing airlines when it comes to the best fares that they can get.
Well, one of the things is the fact that, domestically, we, after all, only have four players. Now, it's basically Air Asia, Maswings, Malaysian Airlines, and Malindo. So I suppose not all of those airlines fly to certain routes as well. So there is an element of less competition, perhaps say compared to international airfares, where there are a lot of places where there's plenty of options.
But there are no plans to cap for international fares, right, Brian? This is just for domestic?
Yes, that's right. There's no plans for that. But one of the things with East Malaysia in particular, and we use that example, air travel is the most practical form of transportation there. Now, you should perhaps even view it as a public good rather than a luxury.
This will be interesting to see what's the potential impact this will have on airline stocks, right? Because the analysts are saying that it's too early to gauge the impact yet. But do you think that will impact...
Because it'll be cutting into their profits,
yeah,
presumably.
Potentially. I mean, because if you look, there are so many factors when it comes to ticket prices, right? They have to look at oil prices, competition and costs for them, and catering
so
and all this.
Operating costs as well,
the load
factor.
Right. So there are a lot of things to consider when it comes to that.
Okay, just very quickly, AirAsia has just announced its latest expansion plan, and Myanmar is the latest country that it's going to be helping set up an airline there. Is that what it is?
That's right. Tan Sri Tony Fernandez says that they're in talks with a potential partner to open an airline serving Myanmar.
Now we have more news. This is Alibaba. They plan to invest some $2 billion in the Lazada unit and appoint one of its most senior executives to run it.
That's right, Sharad. So the latest injection will up Alibaba's stake in Lazada to an undisclosed figure from the current 83%. It will also speed up the e-commerce firm's growth plans. And Alibaba has plowed about $4 billion in Lazada to date. That's a lot of money.
Yes, and also, e-commerce spend in the region is expected to reach 88 billion by 2025. Now, that represents a 32% compound annual growth from 2015. Now, this is according to a report by Google and Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, Temasek.
Now, in fact, e-commerce is a growing trend, but a number of online players are also going offline, apparently.
Yeah, Alibaba acquired a department store chain with 29 stores and 17 shopping malls last year, and also bought a slice of China's largest hypermarket chain. And Amazon, the world's biggest online retailer, bought the U.S. grocery chain store Whole Foods. And, they've also opened bookstores since 2015.
Okay. Well, a few months ago, we spoke to Vivi Yusuf, co-founder of Fashion Valet and the Duck Group, and shared with us about the online business going offline.
Even though we say e-commerce is rising like mad, which it is, 90% of sales is still done offline, in retail stores, in brick and mortar. So you really can't deny, nor can you substitute the experience of going to a shop. We tried first. We tried with a pop-up. So we weren't too brave, opening 10 stores at once. And it did extremely well. So that's why we changed our business model to also include offline growth.
That was Vivi Yusuf, co-founder of Fashion Valet and The Duck Group. You can listen to the Breakfast Grill interview with Vivi by downloading the BFM app.
Well, Shah, did you know that web retailers are learning that stores can complement and improve their online business? So physical stores offer advantages that web stores don't. For example, walk-in traffic and spontaneous purchases. Like one survey found out that 69% of customers who entered a store to pick up an item they ordered online bought additional products. So you end up spending more if you walk in into an actual brick and mortar.
Apparently, there's a gender dimension as this, to this as well.
Apparently.
Women are increasingly more reliant on the internet to make purchases, while men prefer brick and mortar. I wonder what that is.
Yeah, so women like e-commerce for shopping, while men likes brick and mortar. Apparently, this survey found that men are destination drivers. They go into stores to touch and feel. They like to execute deal at stores and then bring the items home with them.
Is it because we're from Mars?
Okay. Well, female shoppers don't necessarily need to feel the need to go to a store because, what, you're from Venus? But do you shop online or offline? Tell us.
So I actually do shop online quite a lot, actually, but a lot from overseas suppliers.
Okay, so you can always be part of this conversation by WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899 or tweeting us at BFM Radio. Tell us what you think about online shopping, if you're a man or a woman, which you prefer. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with The Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Dato' Lee Kim Miao, Managing Director of Top Glove Corporation. Melissa Idris will be speaking to him. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.